In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here with us today at the Morning Coffee with Dr. T. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who joins us here for our weekly Morning Coffee. For the last 22 years, I've given thousands of interviews on radio, podcasts, live conferences, and seminars, and almost all my information one way or another has been about problems associated with vaccines. But I wanted to get more information out to all of you. So that's why I set this up, so that we can answer your questions specifically. And remember to ask them generically, because I can't give you specific medical advice. Today, we have something really unique to bring to you, and a very special guest with a very important message regarding the upcoming elections. Let me introduce to you Dr. Jerome Corsi. Dr. Corsi received his PhD from Harvard University Department of Government in 1972. From 1972 to 1982, he worked as a university professor with his final faculty appointment at the University of Denver. For the next 25 years, Dr. Corsi worked in the financial services industry, creating two bank marketing companies. Each had $1 billion a year in sales of annuities and also mutual funds. Since 2004, Dr. Corsi has written 30 books, I always admire that, on politics and economics, two of which were New York Times bestsellers. Dr. Corsi has recently resumed podcasting on his new website, thetruthcentral.com, which is now on the internet in its first development phases. Dr. Corsi, welcome to Morning Coffee with Dr. T. It's such an honor to have you on my show.
I'm really pleased to be here. Looking forward very much to the discussion. Thank you.
Good. You have discovered some serious voter irregularities in the ballots in the state of Ohio and several other states. Please explain what that is and what it means to us voters here in Ohio.
Well, this should be the highest concern. We have found that in the State Board of Election data, this is the official data of voter records, the data that's going to be used for voting here in a very short period of time, that they're have embedded within them a secret code that has been placed in these voter records, such that to facilitate mail-in balloting fraud. Now, the codes that have been placed in here are like cryptography, like you would code a military code. So that, in other words, there's secret information in these websites where the voter data is altered, and just altering voter data itself is a crime, let alone facilitating mail-in voting. But this is, I think, what the Democrats are planning to do to steal this election. And they are planning to steal this election. Okay, so I'm going to give you a short explanation of how it works, but I'm sure I can also share screens and show you some of the things we're going to be discussing. But first and foremost, the idea is that you take the database. And, you know, so you've got the voters coming in and registering to vote. And if it was done normally, done correctly, whoever would register first gets number one, or register second gets number two, or register third gets number three. It's done chronologically. But when you're creating a secret code of this kind, the first thing you have to do, and this is going to be essentially how card sharks work, is how you create marked cards and put them in a deck. That's kind of what this is about. We're going to create false records and put them in the deck, so you can't recognize that they're there. So you have to excuse me. I've had COVID and this cough lingers with me. I'm having a COVID lingering. I'm sure you discussed it on your show at length. And I'm taking ivermectin and everything else to get rid of it, but it doesn't go away very quickly. Okay, the first thing you have to do, if you take a deck of cards and you open it up from the manufacturer, they're in order. You know, usually hearts are first and then the cards are sequenced. So if you take cards you've marked and just put them in that deck, they stand out. Because the first card that's not in sequence would be a marked card. And you recognize it right away. So what you have to do to create a code or a cryptography scheme, you have to shuffle the deck. The very first thing you do is shuffle the deck. You rearrange the cards. So here the idea is to rearrange the voters in order to shuffle the deck. So in other words, you come in, your children is another example. You've got children say, this is my firstborn child. That's number one. My thirdborn child was good in music. Well, you know who your thirdborn child was. It's the one born third. And nobody makes that mistake. Even when you have seven or eight kids, you typically remember what order they were born in. Okay, now, but on the state of New York, we know that this scheme is in New York. We know it's in New Jersey. We know for a fact it's here I'm in Ohio. It's in Ohio. So the first thing the state does is say, well, I'm sorry, but you know, your first child is number one, but your second child is number 12. And your next child is number 23. And then it's 34. And the next child is 45 and then 56. So wait a minute, I don't have 56 kids. So how did I get 56? Well, it says, well, there are kids who are between these intervals. There are other kids, number 2 through 10. They're there, but they're not your kids. They're from somebody else. We just put them there. And boy, by the way, 2 of them are fake. 2 of them don't exist at all. Okay, so because I've opened up the records like this and created space, I can insert records from other places in the data. And that means I can insert records I've made up that are false. But I can yet give them a legitimate state ID because I'm numbering them and giving a legitimate state ID. Now, I think I want to show you how this is done. Are you following me so far?
I think so. I think that I kind of understand that you're assigning different numbers to different people and assigning fabricated things into and slicing it into the data deck.
And I'm doing it systematically. I think I will show you a little bit of how it's done because we have time and I want to do a little bit more. This is critical. I mean, I can't believe this isn't a major story everywhere because, you know, how can we have data in that we're going to vote on that isn't reliable? I mean, to me, it's pretty shocking. Now, let me share the screen. You'll have to give me permission to share the screen. I'm going to share a part of this. Oh, this is an article from Andrew Paquette, and it's on our website. I'm going to show you our website here in a second, and it's on our 501c3 website. And first thing I'm going to show you is the website. So hold on a second here. Let me get to the website and I'll be able to show it to you. Here we go. Okay, if you have permission to share now, I'll see if it's been given to me. Yes, I have permission to share. Here's our website. I'm sharing it right now. It's called God's Five Stones. And that's, there's no apostrophe, G-O-D, no apostrophe S, F-I-V-E, you spell out five, and stones.com. It's 501c3. Now, first thing we have up here is from Brian Katz, who's the Public Integrity Division Director in Ohio. And it makes it clear that they are conducting a serious investigation. As Director of the Ohio State, Secretary of State's Public Integrity Division, he's basically starting an investigation. And that's what these emails show. And they are official emails from Officer Frank LaRosa, who's the Secretary of State in Ohio. Now, on this, if you go up here to this New York voter analysis and you click the Andrew Paquette paper, this is the paper that Andrew Paquette has written. And it's on here, which shows how the New York fraud is done. I'm going to quit sharing the screen, and I'm going to go to the paper itself and show you something in the paper. So here we go. Here's the paper. And I'm going to come to a particular chart in the paper. I'm going to show you how this is, in fact, how the numbers are assigned. So let me find the chart I want. Hold on. It's not there, that one. I have to scroll through it for a minute.
So this is an actual document that you found instructing people how to do this? Is that how you found this?
Well, this is the genius who, this is how you decode codes. This whole document, which is a published document, shows the steps we had to go through to decode this. Because remember, a code is not meant to be broken. And so we had to spend a lot of time. Andrew Paquette is the genius who did this. He spent, you know, I still don't know how he really did it. It's so amazing that he actually figured it all out, because it is not easy to do. You have to do a lot of guessing and have to do a lot of pattern recognition. Now, if you take a look at this, the middle columns where it says CID sort, so there's that's a county ID, and the registration date, the county ID number, the short ID from the state, and the gap between these. So the eighth person in this sorted here from this for the county in New York State was given the number 20,307,396. The next person got 20 million, not 307,397. It got 20,308,507. They added 1,111 to 8 to get the number 9, and they do that for a whole sequence of numbers. These 1111 are called rep units, or repeat units. They're unique numbers which are used in coding to open up intervals, because you see, there's 1,111 records between my 8 and 9 that are inserted there. So I give new, if we go over the first three columns, if we look at, you see, I do use all the numbers in sequence, and then I give you a new county ID number, which I don't show to the counties. So the counties are in sequence, and these are in sequence, but all with numbers I've made up. And you'll see they don't have any relationship to when you registered. So if you look at the third set of columns over here, and you sequence everything by registration date, the county IDs and the state IDs are no longer in numerical sequence. They're up and down all over the place. Okay, so I've now erased from the database a link between when somebody registered and what number they get. Now, this is critical to the fraud, because I can insert here false records, but I can give them real state ID numbers. Now, that means if I've got a fake number and I need a mail-in vote, I can go and find one of my fake voters. They've got a real state ID. I print a ballot with that real state ID number on it. Now, because the numbers match, that can certify. So when they're certifying it, they see a supposedly real voter got a mail-in ballot and voted it through the machine, and they don't know that that was a fake. Okay, wow. So I've just now have created an apparently legitimate certifiable mail-in ballot from a fake by this scheme. Now, why is that important? It's important because, you know, when 2020, I was watching, you see all these anomalies. You know, you have the middle of the night, a truck arrives and it's full of ballots, and they're running the ballots through the machines all night long. And they pull them out from underneath the cabinets, and they've got more ballots and they're running. Then they won't let the GOP observers observe. And then I thought for sure these elections couldn't certify, because these were ballots that were just being run through the machine, and they wouldn't certify. But the election certified. Well, until I found Andrew Paquette's paper, and Andrew, you know, showed how you can do this by coding the, by encrypting the state voter registration data. So this is an intelligence operation. It means the intelligence agencies are running our elections.
Wow.
Okay, because, and this should be frightening to anyone, you know, because what they can do now, and by the way, then when they've created these fake numbers, that's only part of the scheme. Then they use other ciphers. This is a, called a Caesar cipher, where you take the alphabet and you move it over three. You take the last three letters and you put it at the beginning of the sequence. And then you keep doing that to create new ordering records. And then you take your database and you do it in powers of 10. And so you sort your fake records back into the data by its in location. So it's in strip one, segment one, or strip one, segment two. And you know where that position is. So I can find the fake records in the database because I've got the record locator. I've got the algorithm record locator. But you don't have it. You being, you know, I'm the criminal and you're the state board of elections. And if you look at the records that I'm using as fake records, they look legitimate because a person's name and there's an address. It looks legitimate. You'd have to go out and find out that person doesn't exist by a field survey to know that person doesn't exist.
How long do you think this operation has been going on? Has it been going on longer than just most recent election?
Yes, it started in with HAVA. The legislation, it was passed in 2002, and the legislation requires that the states create the numbers that control elections. They take it out of the control of the counties. Okay, so when it's out of the control of the counties, what happens is that now as at the state level, I can create my own numbers. So by 2007, in states like New York and states like Ohio, they began creating these algorithms, which are, you know, which are mathematical formulas. They're used in cryptology. They started inserting them into the data. So this has been possible, I think, since 2007. And I believe a lot of elections have been stolen with this technique.
Do you think this is more than just national elections? This is state and state legislators? And
absolutely. This could affect any election, because even the down ballot elections are in here. So in Ohio, Sherrod Brown, who's a Democrat, is running for re-election in the Senate. It's a very tight race. You know, he's spending $300 million. He's spending a lot of money in advertising.
Wow.
But he really shouldn't worry, because they can steal the election for him. They can mail, they can say, okay, you know, if I've got this system set up and I'm a criminal, let's say, and I'm a CIA employee whose specialty is coding. You know, that's my, I've spent my career developing codes and deciphering codes. And I come and I apply for a job at the Ohio State Board of Elections, and I get a job. And I get access to the mainframe computer on which the voter data resides. Unbeknownst to anyone, I can go in there and I can put codes into the data. I can create false records and hide them. I can know where those false records are, and you can't. If you're the Secretary of State of Ohio and you're the overall in charge of elections, you would think it's a legitimate election. But I could be sitting there as a CIA employee, covertly voting mail-in ballots to swing the election my way, whatever way I decided to go. Okay, it doesn't necessarily have to be used for Democrats.
So does this have anything to do, you know, there was a really big deal in the last election about the Dominion servers. Is this related to that or not? Or is this something completely more nefarious and separate?
Well, this is, it's related, but it's more, it's deeper because this is at the Home Office. Okay, and what you see in the Dominion computers, and this was another problem, is that our group has challenged a certified election, which is very hard to do. You can't challenge a certified election because it's got all kinds of more proof that you have to have that the election was falsely certified. Remember, certifying, they're just checking the numbers to see that a voter cast a vote. And when numbers match, that's certified.
Oh, wow.
Even if it's fake, it's certified. And so all you have to do is make sure you've got fake votes with real numbers that you can vote. So if I'm sitting there and I'm the criminal, okay, let's say I'm the criminal, and I can come to you and I can say, okay, how much do you want Kamala Harris to win by? Do you want her to win by 1%, 3%, 5%? Do you want her to lead early in the day? Do you want to make it come back in the afternoon or come back in the evening? Want me to stop the voting and overnight we'll get the votes? Because see, I'm watching the vote totals from the central office. And so I can start picking out my mail-in votes that are fraudulent and start voting them. Then they certify. So I can keep Kamala close. And then when I decide she's going to win, I can vote a lot more of my mail-in ballots. Or I can stop the counting and say, well, I need 20,000. Overnight, I can print 20,000 and run them through the machine.
And this makes a lot of sense, what you're explaining. In the last election, when we were all sitting at home at night watching the election returns, and then suddenly the numbers would go crazy and just flip-flop, that just you just knew that wasn't real, but nobody could put their finger on why it wasn't real. How was it that you and your team discovered this? I mean, it's like looking for a nickel in stark darkness, you know, but then you stumbled across it and found it.
But Andrew was working with a group that was called the New York. It was a New York State project, and a bunch of volunteers simply got a hold of the, you know, you can download on most government websites, you can download the voter rolls. So you can get the voter roll. It's public data. Okay. And so we start looking through it, and you realize that the numbering system is screwy. There's a pattern to it. And once you begin seeing a pattern, the code breakers know that that's a telltale sign that there's a code in there. So the best people who are able to crack codes are not necessarily trained in cryptography. In World War II, when they wanted to crack the German Enigma machine, which was this machine with rotors and they changed them every day. And, you know, you've seen movies about it, and Alan Turing was involved in it. Well, they put crossword puzzles in the British newspapers, and people who could solve crossword puzzles fast had skills in pattern recognition. And they turned out to be good code breakers because they could see patterns what other people couldn't see. And so what Andrew saw is he saw this 11111 pattern develop in the numbers. And he realized that these numbers were divisible by certain numbers as well. And they were not being produced normally, not the way you'd expect them to be produced. So he said right away, this data has been altered. Okay, I'm going to show you another telltale sign of it in Ohio. This is also...
You said that the voter registration people here in Ohio are taking this seriously and are seriously looking into it?
Yeah, I mean, that's on the website. They are. We filed a complaint, as it were. And if I go back to my website here, I'll go back to the homepage on it and show it to you. Hold on. One second.
So I agree with you, Dr. Corsi, that this should be everywhere.
This should be everywhere.
And what can you list the other states?
Yes, I'll do that in a minute. I want to first cover this with what happened in Ohio.
Okay, great.
That's really important. And here we go. I'm going to share the screen again. Okay, so this is the first letter we got from Brian Katz. And we got this last Tuesday, I believe. He says, as director of the Ohio State Secretary of State Public Integrity Division, I've been made aware of your claim to have evidence that Ohio's voter registration and tabulation systems can be compromised. My understanding is that you have knowledge of certain algorithms embedded in the state's voter registration database that could allow for the manipulation of mail-in voting records or other election data. Secretary of State has the authority under state law to investigate the administration of election laws, frauds, and irregularities in elections in any county, and report violations of election laws to the Attorney General or prosecuting attorney or both for prosecutions. I ask that you provide this evidence as soon as possible to our office's election integrity unit, and I invite you to arrange a call or meeting to provide additional insight so we can take appropriate steps to investigate these assertions. Please be advised that our office has a statutory authority to, quote, issue subpoenas, summon witnesses, compel the production of books, papers, records, and other evidence, and fix the time and place for hearing any matters related to the administration and enforcement of the election laws. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Well, I answered him immediately, and we had a meeting. Had a meeting last Wednesday. The meeting was with Brian Katz and his staff by Zoom, or over there. I guess it was over their channel. What electronic meeting, virtual meeting. And Mr. Katz came on. He talked about how Ohio has done exceptional steps. They've taken really exceptional steps to make sure the voting records are clean, and that there, you know, there are procedures that Ohio is using that we don't know about. And he was saying that, you know, the Secretary of State Frank LaRose has been saying that this will be a 96% clean election. Okay, and I said to him, well, Mr. Katz, I'm going to show you some things now that you don't know. When you see them, you're going to tell me you were surprised to see them, and you won't be able to explain them. I'm going to stop sharing, and I'm going to show you what I showed him, because we did this very, you know, I was, first of all, before I went in to do this, we had the Ohio data. And I knew that there were various algorithms in it. We knew that it had been corrupted by criminal scheme. And I could prove it independently of Mr. Katz giving us access to any of their data, because we already had done it. But I came in politely to say that, you know, these people, I believe, are honest. And when they see it, they'll take responsibility for it, and they'll have to fix it. Now, what I showed them, and I'm going to find this right here, and I'll show you what I showed them. On 1 second. Here we go. Here we are, and I'll get Ohio. This just takes a minute to find. I've got so many. Okay. I'm trying to get that bigger. Okay, I'm going to share the screen. Okay, these are scattergrams. And what scattergrams do is that they produce a, like for instance, this one, this is Huron County, which is off by Sandusky and by Toledo on the way over to Indiana, going west out of Cleveland. It's a very small county. It's only got about 39,000 people in it, and it's largely Republican. And you can see the bottom of the axis, the horizontal, is the number registration. So number 1,000, number 2,000. So this is chronological when they people come in and register. And the top is where they, the vertical axis is the number they get. So in Huron County, it's done legitimately because you'll see that people come in and they sequentially get the number, the next number, as their voting ID. It's a small county. It's relatively Republican. Getting fake mail-in Democratic votes here is not going to be very important, and it would be noticeable. So you can't get it. They don't even bother with this district. But now we, and with this county, now we go over to Mahoning County. This is Mahoning County right here. And you can see the pattern here is that the all of the votes are in one quadrant. Well, that's not possible. See, this looks like all the votes came in like 2 days. And there's no voters to come in any other part. Well, this compared to the pattern I showed you a minute ago, the pattern in Mahoning County, that scatter plot is obviously mathematically manipulated to throw all those voters in that one section. So that's a telltale sign right away that the data has been manipulated. Do you understand that? Is that clear?
I do understand that. And when you showed this to our Ohio officials, were they jaw-dropped?
Yeah, the first thing Mr. Katz said is he turned to a guy named Josh Jaffe, who is the data analysis manager. And he said to Josh, can you explain this? And Josh said, I've never seen it before. I don't have any explanation for it. I don't know why it's there, which is what I told him 2 minutes ago that we was going to say, because I knew he had to have that reaction. Okay, and we're finding all the counties. I now have done all the counties, and I'll show you what those look like here in a minute.
I'd be curious if you can select. I live in Cuyahoga County. I would be curious to see that county.
Well, I'm going to show it to you in a minute, because you'll be surprised to see Cuyahoga County. So I'm going to stop this share, and I'm going to come over here to another email from Andrew. And okay, let's get it here. And okay, I'm going to show you Cuyahoga County. Okay, here we go. I share this.
I'd be really curious to see this. I remember back when people voted in the last election, there were people that went downtown and they saw busloads of people coming in from who knows where that just went in and just voted.
Yeah, well, in Ohio, in Cuyahoga County, it's not a straight line. There's some sections that are straight lines, but there's some sections that are just anomalies. Like there's breaks in it. And, this, why in these here are so dense that the hash marks are on top of each other. Okay. So again, and there's outliers here, which shouldn't be. So in Cuyahoga County, again, this out there, there are algorithms that alter this data, and you can see that they're operative here. So, you can take out, I'll show you some of the even more bizarre counties. So I can stop sharing.
Well, I think that we get the idea, Dr. Corsi. I think that it's really important that we get the idea. And it's the two important things that come to my mind are, number one, are they going to take action on this? And it seems as though the only way to stop this is to stop mail-in voting.
Yes, it's the only way to stop it, really, is stop mail-in voting.
Yeah. And then, again, I know I've asked you this before, but I think it's really important for our audience who are listening to this and are not from Ohio. What other states are involved with this that you know?
Okay, well, we know this scheme is in New York and New Jersey. We know it's in Hawaii. Okay, the scattergrams I'll just pull up the list of states. I know I want to get the email on this to get this precisely, because I've got an email in here which says exactly which ones we're looking. There's about eight that we're looking at that, you know, my list is about 13, because these are the ones that I'm hearing about and people are communicating to me about. And so my list is about 13. Let me find if I can get the email here that lists them exactly. Hold on a second. Hold on. Ohio forgeries. Okay. I'm looking at states like Pennsylvania, Texas. Those two, I think, are very likely to have algorithms in it. Oklahoma is another one. I suspect that all of the battleground states, including Arizona, Michigan, and Wisconsin, will have algorithms in them. And I'm also hearing other states that are calling us and saying, look at our state, because it's, we believe there's algorithms in our state. Florida is one. So, you know, there are certain states where they're important to the election. I quite frankly, I suspect it could be in every state. And I also suspect it's being used internationally. The reason I suspect that is because, you know, if you looked at the parliamentary elections that went on just recently in Europe, they have two ballots. In the first ballot, the conservatives were doing very well. Then in the second ballot, they said, well, the left woke up and it surged. Well, I called in France and Italy, and they said, Dr. Corsi, there's nobody at the polls.
Mm.
It's surging in the computer.
Mm.
It's not surging in the polls. There's nobody here voting. It's surging in the computers.
Wow.
Okay, so, and in Venezuela, it was the same thing. Venezuela, they stopped the counting. They came back, and now the candidate that was the leftist candidate is suddenly winning. Okay, so these patterns are recognizable. And I think the reason they're planning to use this system is because, okay, so the Democrats realize that with Joe Biden and his mental incapacity, especially after that debate, well, there's no way that his numbers are going to be close to Trump's numbers. So it wouldn't be credible to steal a lot of mail-in votes for him at the last minute. But you get rid of him and you get Kamala. And then they start gaslighting Kamala, saying, oh, she's really doing well. And you know, she's really making an impact. And her policy statements are really brilliant. And by the way, she's leading polls already with Trump in some states. Well, these are all lies, but it's the mainstream media telling the intelligence agencies lies. And she looks close enough that when you do steal the election, by voting these mail-in votes that you know are legitimate, that you created as a criminal in the state database, well, it could be credible. It looks like, well, that could happen.
So, Dr. Corsi, these are really compelling stats and data and documents. You know, all the people that were involved in election integrity and trying to, you know, do the thing with the voting and all that stuff the last time. Like, I know you're working with Dr. Carla Dean Graves.
Right. Yes.
She's a colleague and a friend of mine. Have you gotten to Mike Lindell and you know, the people that were really fighting all the election integrity the last time? Tucker Carlson, and have you gotten this to Trump?
It's very hard. The Trump people know about this, but again, I've never been so censored in my life. Mm. And it's been very hard to get donations because, you know, so we run out of money. That's the problem, is we're running out of money. And, you know, people have donated and they're disillusioned because nothing has gone anywhere. Now, nothing's gone anywhere because they've been using the wrong strategy. Contesting an election that's certified is very difficult because it's officially been certified as legitimate. Okay, now you're saying that the certification process was fraudulent. Well, in fact, we know it is, but the fact is that that has a very high threshold at law. So you're not going to get standing, your case isn't going to get heard. And then Mike Lindell and the others have said, well, the Dominion's machines change votes. Okay, now, my PhD is in political science from Harvard. I got a PhD in political science, and I've been in Cleveland at Case Western Reserve when I was a professor and a student in the 1960s at Case Western Reserve. When I was in actually my teenage years, they would say, well, you know, we're going over to WJW on Euclid Avenue to do the election results, a political science professor. And they'd say, you come with me because you can do the analytics. So I'd sit there with the precincts and I would know this candidate's a Democrat and they have to get so many votes out of this precinct in Cuyahoga County or they're in trouble. And I'd start calling the elections. Okay, so I know how this is all done. And the point is, for me, these documents, you know, that when you're in an election center and the numbers coming in, they're very messy. Because some precincts reported 20% when 20% have been counted. Some wait till 50%. Some wait till they're all counted. And so the machines do make adjustments, the numbers. Just because the machine's changing numbers in the Dominion machines doesn't mean it's necessarily a fraud. And so when Mike Lindell charged this, he couldn't prove it. Because they could say, well, there's a legitimate reason why that change might have been made. Maybe we had the count wrong. Maybe we had to adjust the count to be right once we got more information. Okay, so.
You know, Dr. Corsi, I'm very aware of censorship. I mean, I'm highly censored too. People can't even interview me on YouTube because it gets their channel shut down.
Right.
So maybe you need to give this information to other people and, you know, you back, to, you know, you they front run it and then you come in on the back door of it or
delighted,
something.
For instance, I'm delighted to have the show today because you'll make an impact in Ohio. And, you know, after what I've shown you, you're not going to say to Frank LaRose, you can just take a pass on this. You know, we're also now very close to showing him the number manipulation. We've already determined that the Ohio database of voters, the official state database, have number sequences that involve division by eight. So there's a sequence in the database of numbers that, you know, the eight times table. Numbers.
So you started talking about the other states. And I know that our listeners are wide and broad. You mentioned Hawaii and Texas, and now we have Ohio. What other states can we get the troops rallied for you in?
We can get this to all the battleground states. Let's do Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Let's do Arizona. How about Michigan? Wisconsin. These are states, the states that are in contest right now are the states we want. And if we just get the database from the state, we can tell you whether or not the scattergrams are correct by counties. If the scattergrams are not correct, we'll know there are algorithms in it. In fact, I'm pretty sure there are algorithms in these other these battleground states. And if we just can get the data and people will cooperate with us, you know, again, our side gets very contentious, so they want the funding all for themselves, and they want their data all for themselves. And so I'm saying just share it with us. Let's work together, and we'll take and we'll give you what we have.
So for the listeners that are out here, number one, where can they donate to support this? And number two, what can each of us individually do to help you push this forward?
Well, you go to the website. And I'll share it again, which is God's Five Stones. God's Five Stones. It's right here. .com. Okay, so God's5Stones.com. You can see it up here in the URL. G-O-D, no apostrophe S. You spell out the number five, F-I-V-E, and stones, S-T-O-N-E-S. This is the passage in the Bible where David selects five smooth stones from the brook. and he gets exactly the right stones that God wants him to use to kill Goliath. Okay, so this is picking the right stones. And this has a lot of information on it. I mean, look at, I've done all kinds of videos, and we've archived the videos. These are, you know, this, your video for this show will be up here, but I've been on videos, you know, for town meetings. This was a town meeting, I believe, out in, I guess that was one. I did a couple that was either Medina, or this one might have been out in one of the other, one of the towns in Ohio, one of the counties. So I'm going to the counties and doing these, and I'm doing them from my office here, and I'm working out of the Mendenhall Law Firm because Tom Connors is advising us from a law point in Akron, the Mendenhall Law Firm in Akron. That's where I am today. And, you know, you can reach me very easily through this website or, you know, my email, which is just Jerome Corsi. I'll use my initials, JRLC, Jerome Robert Lewis Corsi, JRLC at yahoo.com. That reaches me, JRLC at yahoo.com. And your staff has my cell phone number. I can be reached. But we need donations. We need pressure on the state Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, and this, and his assistant here, who's the head of the Public Integrity Division, Brian Katz. These are the two who are on the at the homepage. You can see in this letter. So if we go back to the homepage, and this permits you to donate at the bottom here of the homepage. You can either donate by a check or money order, or you can actually go on to one of these QR codes and donate through the websites. And you can, the websites are merchant account equipped, so you can take, they'll take a merchant account donation by credit card. Or you can send in a check to Capstone Legacy Foundation. But
if people send in a check to Capstone Legacy Foundation, is that a tax deductible contribution?
Yes, it's tax deductible. Okay, they run 501c3s.
Important to know.
This is a 501c3 organization, tax deductible.
So we need to get, I see from looking at your videos there, I know a lot of the people that you've done interviews with. I don't see Pete Santilli on there. Are you lined up to go on his show?
I'm not. I'd love to be on Pete Santilli's.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can work on that to get you there. I'm surprised that you're not. He's got a large reach also. But I see Coach Dave, and I saw the two chicks that are there, you know, the resistance chicks. And I know that you're working with some really great people here in Ohio. Who are the people in other states? Is it the state Patriots organizations? Where can we get you involved in speaking in other states for the listeners that are listening this morning?
Certainly any of the, you know, the groups that are trying to file cases. And I'm having a hard time with them because, you know, there's some the groups. Andrew Paquette was working with a group, and he's the guy who figured this out, of course, and published this paper on it. And Andrew had a fight with them because they thought he was taking too much credit for himself. So here's Andrew's paper. And so what happened was that I'll share this. Hold on a second. I'll share this. So Andrew Paquette came to this paper, was published in the Journal of Information Warfare. Mm. And Andrew sent his paper to the attorney here, Tom Connors, at the Mendenhall Law Firm in Akron. And Tom called me and he said, Dr. Horsey, I've got this paper. And it's, you can see it's very complicated. A lot of numbers, a lot of math, a lot of, you know, analysis. And he said, I can't tell if it's real or not. I don't know anything about cryptography. So I said, send it to me. And so I looked at it, and about a week later, I said, Tom, it's real. He's found something. This New York State database is encrypted, and it does facilitate this mail-in voting fraud. I said, I see, it's clear from this paper. Now, you have to understand cryptography to understand it, and it takes a little bit of work. But I think I've got it explained. So you got it right away. It's not that hard once it's explained to you in common sense terms. A lot of these groups don't want to work together. They want to pursue their own objective. They want to make the money for themselves. And they're not cooperative. You know, I had one group that refused to fund me because I told them they were using the wrong strategy. And why don't you let me work with you and your data and let me call a few plays. Now let me be the coach for a minute. And because I'm the one who beat Mueller in the Mueller investigation. Mueller investigation spent 40 hours with me. They thought I had a tie to Julian Assange. And they said finally that this was their last big piece of the Russian collusion. And they said to me, we're going to bring you before a jury in Washington that will hate you. And they'll convict you whether you're guilty or not. You'll spend the rest of your life in jail. Or just come and do this plea deal and we'll let you off very simply. Say you lied to us and that you did have a tie with Assange that you gave to Roger Stone. Well, I, on a trip over to Italy in 2016 with my family, it was that time our 25th wedding anniversary. And by the way, my wife has since divorced me. She wanted me out of politics. She couldn't take the pressure anymore.
Wow.
32-year marriage broke up. She had an affair and broke up the marriage.
So sorry.
Well, I just think God put me back to work because I was going to have to quit. I wouldn't be doing this today if she hadn't done what she had done. I would be I'd be retired. I'm 78 years old. At the end of this week, I'm 78 years old. But the point is, when I looked at the paper, I knew we caught them and that this is game over. Because if they can't do mail-in vote fraud, there's no way Kamala Harris is going to win. They're counting on this. That's why they're so smug, the Democrats, because they know they can win. They know they've got enough votes seeded away, squirreled away in these databases that they can vote. And so no matter how many people come out and vote for Trump, they can still top it.
That certainly seems to be what happened in the last election, when you would see Trump rallies with tens of thousands of people and, you know, all of the stuff that was happening. And you would see Biden have a rally and have 35 people show up. And the same thing is happening now with Kamala and her sidekick, you know. They have like 35 people that show up for a rally. And on the same night, Trump has, you know, 5,000 people.
But they're going to say that, you know, she got 81 million votes.
Right.
You know. Yeah, well, it's just not possible. Except that, see, that they can cheat.
Right.
Now, the truth is, the criminals who created the system know what I know, and that is, if I created this system, I could run a simulation of the election. So I can come to you and say, do you want Kamala to win by 1%, 3%, or 5% early in the day or later in the day? Should we stop the election and have it be dramatic and then overnight she has all the ballots and wins? Because since I'm controlling how it's voted from the computer and how many mail-in ballots I'm using, I can always add more. And so therefore, I could make my simulation the vote.
You need to get this on major media, man. You need to talk to Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones and people that have big audiences so that they can hear you. And the big audiences then will also lead to more donations, will also lead to more activists, so people getting involved with this, because this is the most important. There was somebody who came out, who was a former CIA director, came out yesterday on Twitter and said, this is the most important election since the election before the Civil War.
Yes,
and if this gets squirreled away and we knowingly know it and nobody does anything about it, I just can't underestimate the travesty that would be.
I can prove this with 100% certainty.
Yeah, wow.
This is mathematics. The ciphers are there. I can show them to you. The Secretary of State in Ohio can't deny that they're there. And And yet I can't get traction with this because we're blocked and they don't want this known. They don't want me heard. Well, see, I didn't take the plea deal. And I said, you can put me in jail the rest of my life. I don't have a tie with Assange. And so I figured fully I would spend the rest of my life in jail, in prison. But they didn't indict me. Instead, they closed the Mueller investigation because they had nothing. They were the liars. And that's the case here, too. I can prove that they've set up to do election fraud with mail-in votes by putting these ciphers into the computers of the state records of voters. And they're there.
Well, I think that your we're coming up to the top of the hour this morning. And I think that your explanation was incredibly clear and irrefutable. And so, you know, between being on this show, other shows in Ohio, I'll reach out to Pete Santilli and see if he can get you on the show. There are, you know, PM Popper would be another really big voice.
But I'll do a show. We're going to put out a press release today.
Yeah.
I'm going to send it to all the press reporters in Ohio. And I suspect they won't cover it because they don't want the story known.
Well, if you start telling them, though, that the state board of this Mr. Katz is already looking at it, that may get their interest. That may get their interest that you've kind of kicked the can a bit.
See, Mr. Katz has got a dilemma, too, in that, you know, it's there and we're showing it to him. And if he slow plays it, which doesn't seem like he's going to do, or if he closes the investigation and says we're wrong, we can publish what we have and make it clear. But again, would anybody listen to us? You know, or would anybody publish it after he closed the investigation if he did that? No, he hasn't done that. And I think people need to say, you know, this is real. You've got to report it. There should be a criminal investigation coming out of this already. Just from what I've shown you.
Well, I think that from our platform here, and we've got a fairly sizable platform, and this will be posted on several different sites and will stay live. It doesn't, you know, go away. And some of the contacts that we have, I'm going to do what I can to help you get this out to everywhere. I mean, this should be on Laura Ingraham. This should be on Hannity. It should be everywhere of where people are actually listening. You know, also, Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson and you know, big platforms, you know.
Some of the people who are influential in Ohio and have the resources to donate, because let's not let this get by. Let's, you know, if we had the money, I'll pay in to pick cat and we'll do all the states. I could run all the states and show you the scattergrams of every single state if we had the money to do it.
Well, tell people again, as we're closing out at the top of the hour here, where do they go to donate?
Okay, they go to this site here. They go to...
You don't have to show it. You can just say
okay,
it.
Wait, it's God's, G-O-D, no apostrophe S. God's is five stones. So G-O-D, no apostrophe S. Spell out five, F-I-V-E, stones, plural, STONES.com. God's five stones.com. You can donate on that website.
And that is the 501c3, so you can make it. It is coming up to the end of the year. You know, if you've got any tax planning to do that you need to donate to charitable contributions, this would be a great place to put your money. I know how donations work. There is no donation that's too small. I mean, if we have a million people that can donate $5, that would be awesome. You know,
they all add up.
They all add up, exactly. Well, Dr. Corsi, it's been such an honor to have you here this morning, and I'm really fired up for you and what you're doing. You know, I'm an Ohioan. You know, I've lived my whole life in Ohio, almost my whole life in Ohio, and this is very important to me in voter integrity.
Remember, they could steal the Sherrod Brown election if they can steal down ballot elections. So you know, it's not and for all I know, they've been doing it for a long time. And people just haven't realized it. I think this scheme has been there. We can find out how long. If we had the money, we could go and do the assembly code, and I could tell you exactly who the false voters were. I could tell you when they were created. We could get the original source code, how the machine runs, And I've got cryptology experts who agree with me that it's there, and they're ready to do this work, but we can't pay them.
Well, then that's where our contributions and our donations are necessary. So I hope that everybody listening today and will be listening in the future will donate whatever you can feasibly do. We know times are tough right now, but as Dr. Corsi and I were talking at the top of the hour before we went live, this is something that's winnable. You know, that people are frustrated because Fauci's still walking the streets and, you know, all these different things, all the data has been showing and nothing has happened. This is something that's winnable and very, very important. So yes. I want to thank everybody that's been here with us this morning. This has been a very important conversation, and I hope that you will spread this out to the other states that we've talked about, the swing states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, New York, Texas, probably Oklahoma, and probably every place else.
New Jersey, too. We have it proved in New Jersey. We cracked.
And New York. You said in New York.
New York and New Jersey. We have cracked. We have the whole code.
There we go. So all of you listeners that are from those states, get involved, donate, and get some support behind the people that are doing the work. And let's do whatever we can to try to make sure that our elections are not fraudulent as we're going into, you know, it is. It's like 57 days away is when the election is. So don't sit around and think about it. Take action and do it. And with that, I want to
have an investigation going. We get a criminal referral out of this. We can, you know, we've got to have something that, you know, will wake people up, because this is too important. If we lose this election, they won't, they could throw away the votes and vote the machine, and you wouldn't know the difference.
Exactly. Well, thanks for everybody who were with us this morning. We had a pretty large group of people, and this will be very vocal out on several different sites. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning. It's a somber moment to think about what is happening and what has been happening to our country, and to not have free and fair elections. So with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible that I close all my podcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, remember to lean into God. He'll never let you down. We'll see you here next week, same place, same time, with Morning Coffee with Dr. T. And we'll get back to answering your medical health questions next week. Dr. Corsi, be it, you've got our contact. And if there's anything else that we can do to help you spread the word, we will be there. So thank you so much for being with us this morning. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50.